of the Lord's people all in the same place at the same time. But because of the COVID-19 novel coronavirus and the orders from the governor and our national leaders, we are practicing physical distancing here in this worship service. Most of you, all of you who are watching this, are doing so by live streaming in the safety of your own home. And I would certainly applaud your practice of that obedience to the national guidelines, and I would urge you to continue to do so over the next several weeks. But I hope this worship service here in this sanctuary will be the means of God's grace to you tonight and enable you to worship God in spirit and in truth. It is a Maundy Thursday tenebrae service, so it's a little different from the normal Sunday morning worship services. We will have the reading of the scripture about the Last Supper shared between Jesus and his disciples early in the service, right after the call to worship, followed by a brief meditation, and then we will observe the sacrament of Holy Communion after that. During the verse number 4 of hymn 778, I will light the candles that will be part of the tenebrae service, and I'm sure you're familiar with that, but in case you are not, after each reading, the reader will begin to extinguish the candles to the right. After the reading, first reading, the first candle will be extinguished, second reading, second candle, and so forth, until finally the Christ candle is extinguished. And then in the relative darkness of the sanctuary, our soloist, Lynn Bolton, will offer up a solo, "Were You There?" And at the conclusion of that solo, we will all leave the sanctuary in silence. There will be no benediction and no talking. To drive home the somberness of that first, Maundy Thursday shared between Jesus and his disciples. Having said all that, let's bow our heads for the opening prayer. Well, God in heaven, thank you for this Maundy Thursday, this tenebrae service. And we pray, O Lord, for your blessings upon us as we gather here in this sanctuary, the few of us that will make this service happen, and all of us who are in our respective homes. Keep us safe, O God. Protect us. Watch over us. And empower us that we might worship you this evening in spirit and in truth. Help us, O Lord, to ponder the seriousness of that Last Supper shared between Jesus and his disciples, and the events that preceded his night in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his final arrest, trial, and crucifixion, his death and burial. Help us, O Lord, even in those tragic and somber circumstances, to see your gracious hand at work, provide for us and for all the world the forgiveness of our sins. Give us faith, O God, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please join with me in the singing of verse 3 of hymn number 778, "As He Gathered at His Table." Chapter 26, verses 17 through 30. It is Matthew's account of that Last Supper shared between Jesus and his disciples. Let's listen now for God's word to us in this reading. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" Jesus said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him, one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. May God add his blessing to these readings from God's holy word. Let's bow our heads for a brief word of prayer. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. In our New Testament lesson, Matthew tells us the story of the Last Supper, the Passover feast, that was arranged by our Lord Jesus with and for his 12 disciples. That Last Supper took place in the midst of a very dark, foreboding, sobering time. The supper on that Thursday evening was preceded by the week of our Lord's Passion, a week filled with controversies between Jesus and the religious authorities, a week filled with their plots to kill Jesus. On that very night at the Last Supper, Jesus preceded the supper itself with the grim news that one of the 12 disciples would betray the Lord to those religious authorities. That news alone distressed each of the 12 mightily, each one asking aloud, "Lord, is it I?" We gather tonight in circumstances that are also grim and dark and foreboding and sobering, so that we might observe once again this Lord's Supper. Among the sobering aspects of this night for us are, we are not gathered physically together here in this common space of our beloved church sanctuary. We are physically distanced from one another. In fact, not only as a church, but also as a community, as a nation, as a world, we are physically distanced from one another. In order to overcome this dreaded invisible enemy called the COVID-19 novel coronavirus, our nation alone has lost something toward 16,000 people, maybe more by this point in time. The world has lost some 94,000-96,000. The count exceeds my brain's ability to comprehend. Each life lost represents a person who was beloved and is now grieved by his or her family and his or her community of friends. The risk and the cost of this disease are staggering to each one of us, but especially so to our medical communities, our first responders, our caregivers, our grocery store clerks, our truck drivers, all essential personnel of every sort. The list goes on. And yet this Lord's Supper tonight and our difficult circumstances do more than remind us of our Lord's Last Supper and the tragic circumstances that confronted him. Our observance of the Lord's Supper this night will also declare the same good news that was shared by our Lord Jesus with the 12 on that night long ago, though they did not fully comprehend what the Lord was saying to them at that time. The good news that our Lord Jesus gave his body and blood upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, for the forgiveness of the world's sins. In the Last Supper, our Lord Jesus also assured the disciples that he would celebrate the supper again in the coming kingdom in heaven. Later that same evening in the Garden of Gethsemane, he assured his disciples that he would see them again in this world, in Galilee. All of that was good news then, but it was hard for the disciples to hear and comprehend. So, though that Thursday evening of the Last Supper would be followed by the grim events of our Lord's arrest, trial, crucifixion, death, and burial, and though the wicked world intended those events to speak the final word in Jesus' existence, such was not to be. For on the third day, following his death and burial, God the Father raised the Son from death and the grave into the life everlasting. That's why the church calls Friday of our Lord's death Good Friday. That which the wicked world intended for evil, God transformed into the greatest good, God's victory in Christ over both sin and death. Therefore, in our observance of the Lord's Supper tonight, and in our observance of the Tenebrae service, the service of shadows that will follow, may we take seriously the Last Supper of our Lord and his disciples, and may we take seriously those events that surrounded his Last Supper then and our Lord's Supper tonight. At the same time, may we take seriously the good news that death and the grave could not hold Jesus, not then, nor do they hold him now. Even now in our world, broken as it is by the bad news of the world and the bad news of the COVID-19 virus of our... According to St. Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Let's bow our heads for the great prayer of thanksgiving. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful, and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever sing to the glory of your name, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith, encourage us with hope, inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ your word made flesh, in the holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever. Let us now pray together the great prayer taught to us by our Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of our Lord's arrest, he took the bread, and after giving thanks for it, he broke it, saying, This is my body, which is for you. Take, eat, remembering me. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, remembering me. For inasmuch as you eat the bread and drink from the cup, you declare the Lord's death until he comes again. If you would take your elements that you have prepared at home and here and participate in the bread and the cup. Let us bow our heads again for prayer. We thank you, O God, that through word and sacrament you have given us your Son, who is the true bread from heaven and food of eternal life. So strengthen us in your service, that our daily living may show our thanks. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's continue our worship by singing together the fourth verse of hymn number 778. And during the singing of that verse, I will light the candles.
Matthew, chapter 26, verses 31 through 46. Then Jesus said to them, You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter declared to him, Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And Jesus said to him, Truly I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit here while I go yonder and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, thy will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer has given them a sign, saying, "The one I shall kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Hail, Master," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why are you here?" Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled.
Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter followed him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now, the chief priest and the whole council sought Paul's testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none. Though many false witnesses came forward, at least two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is this that these men testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face, and they struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a maid came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the porch, another maid saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that he was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor wondered greatly.
Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner who they wanted. And they then had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much over him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the people to ask for Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into Praetorium, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe upon him, and placing a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spat upon him, and took the reed, and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, and put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man, Simon by name. This man they compelled to carry a cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mingled with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down, and they kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews."
We'll now sing verse 3 from "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Desires him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." And
And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus Christ cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, This man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said,